Thank you very much, Mr. Rothman. It's certainly a pleasure to be here. Nothing short of an amazing Kiddush Hashem for everyone to be able to gather for a day of Harbatzas HaTorah, and certainly to be able to reflect not only in learning, but also to describe from the perspective of a Talmud the legacy of the Rav Zecher Tzadik Livracha is a unique privilege and opportunity. I want to thank the Krupka Mishpacha Touro College University System for sponsoring today's shiur. Let me begin very simply with one of the most basic mitzvos that we find in the Torah, but yet its definition is somewhat unclear. If I were to ask you what are the basic tenets, the precepts, Ikari Amuna, the very first mitzvos that the Rambam describes in Minyan HaMitzvos, certainly among them would be the concept of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. The fact that we are obligated to pursue a sense of love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and also in a literal sense, Yiras Hashem, Yiras Shamayim, appropriate fear of heaven. But if I were to ask you what exactly is the definition of Yiras Hashem, and how exactly do you attain that lofty goal, the answer is not at all simple. You look in the Rambam in two different places, and the Rambam seems to contradict. When you look in the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos and Mitzvah Dalid, the Rambam writes that Yiras Hashem is Yiras HaOnesh, fear of repercussion, of punishment, of consequence. Part of our principle of faith is that what we do is not random, it's not capricious. Everything is detailed, everything is accounted for, and therefore belief and reward in punishment is a principle of faith, and that is how the Rambam characterizes Yiras Hashem. When you look in the Rambam elsewhere, Perek Beis of Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, the Rambam raises the following question, Heichi Haderech Lavoso Lirasa? How is it possible for a person to attain Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem? The Rambam gives a very different answer. Kishi Yisbonein Adam B'masav U'bruav HaNifloim HaGdolim. Take a step back. Look at everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created in this world and beyond. Kemo Shamar David Samanashi Lelokim LaKelchai. A person is awestruck by everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. And that, no doubt, elicits a great sense of passion and a sense of yira. Not so much fear, but rather awe and reverence. Not yiras ha'onesh, but what I would term yiras ha'romamos. When you look at what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does each and every day, it creates a certain sense of awe, of majesty. We're overawed by what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. And therefore, a very simple question. How is it that one would define a sense of yiras Hashem, yiras Shamayim? You look in the Rambam and say from mitzvos, schar, onesh, reward and punishment, yiras ha-onesh. You look in the Rambam in Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam writes the majestic sense, the majesty, the overarching awe when we think about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does and we begin to contemplate who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And no doubt, it results in a certain tension. How is it that you resolve that apparent contradiction? You know, we were taught by Rav Soloveitchik that it's not only what the Rambam says, but also where the Rambam says it. You know, Rav Chaim Voloshiner writes, Simen Yud, Chut HaMeshulash, that the main limud HaRambam is placement, is juxtaposition. Why the Rambam places this concept, this halacha here, and why others there. And if that really is the case, I would ask you a more sophisticated question. Even if there are two approaches, two paths to Avodas Hashem, why is it that the Rambam emphasizes one in the Sefer HaMitzvos when the Rambam describes the 613 mitzvos that are embedded in the Torah? And why is it in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, in Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam offers that alternate definition? You know, I often joke with my Talmidim, there is a Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Dalid that deals with a technical principle which is called esse docholos esse, that sometimes a positive commandment can override a negative prohibition. The Gemara bases that concept on the juxtaposition of two different psukim, the Isser of wearing shatnez and the mitzvah of tzitzis. The Gemara raises the following question. It's based on proximity, juxtaposition. Not everyone agrees that you can be doresh the fact that one verse is placed next to another. Rabbi Yehuda denies this method of smuchim. The Gemara answers no. Afilu man de ba'amlo doresh smuchim, that even Rabbi Yehuda typically says no, the Gemara says b'mishneh Torah doresh. Mishneh Torah Darish is a reference to Sefer Dvarim, but the Rambam's work, of course, says the Mishneh Torah, everyone agrees that juxtaposition, placement, proximity is absolutely critical. Why is it then that the Rambam emphasizes one in the Sefer Mitzvos, the other in the Yad HaChazaka? What is the source of this Rambam that there are two different approaches, two different paths to Yiras Hashem? I would suggest it emanates from a Gemara in Psachim and Daf Chav Beis. The Gemara tells us something amazing. The practice of Shimon Ha'amsuni, the Gemara says, Inami Rabbi Nechemya Ha'amsuni, who is Doresh every S that you find in the Torah Sashem. Nothing is superfluous. Everything is worthy of explanation. And every time the Torah uses the word S, there is a drasha that one could glean from those particular letters. And Shimon HaMsuni, starting with Sefer Breishis, was Doresh every S of the Torah. All of a sudden, the Gemara describes, he comes to Parshas Ekev, the mitzvah of Yiras Hashem, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, and Shimon HaMsuni is stuck. After all, how can you include any other person, any other being, in the mitzvah of Yiras Hashem, of Yiras Shamayim? Imagine, until you get to that point, 1,000 drashas, and somehow one did not quite fit. You know, anyone of a less character would have kind of fudged it, would have kind of pretended as though. Shimon HaMsuni turns to all who are present. Kishem Shemekablin Schar Al Hadrisha Kach Mechablin Schar Al Aprisha. There's great schar in Limud HaTorah, even if what you say is not correct. And if there's one case that doesn't fit, therefore this cannot be a legitimate path. The Torah Sashem is absolutely perfect, absolutely flawless. There cannot be any exception at all. And I tell my Talmidim sometimes in a loving way, they'll tell me they'll learn a Gemara, they'll learn a Tosus, they'll learn a Rambam. They'll tell me, you know, I have 2 kashas on the Gemara, 3 kashas on Tosus, 4 kashas on the Rambam. I'll tell them, you don't have 2 kashas on the Gemara. You don't have 3 kashas on Tosus. You don't have 4 kashas on the Rambam. I have 2 rayos, 2 proofs from the Gemara, and 3 from Tosus and 4 from the Rambam that you don't understand. You don't understand pshat. Because when you do, it will be absolutely clear that what you thought is a difficulty is going to support the amito shel Torah. There are no kashas in learning. There are no kashas in life. Sometimes we don't have a full sense of understanding. Well, naturally, because our vision is quite, quite limited. We don't have the panoramic vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but a guarantee, every question in life ultimately will be a proof to Hashgachas Hashem and Siyata Deshmaya. So therefore, of Shema and Sunni, one case did not fit. All of a sudden, that's it. It cannot be that my method is legitimate. How can S be an inclusion? How can you include anything in Yiras Hashem, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira? All of a sudden, the Gemara tells us that by Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says S is the rabbos, Talmidei Chachamim. You have a great Talmid Chacham, a great Torah scholar. I can include that individual in this pasuk of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. why didn't Shimon HaMsuni think of that simple drasha? Or let me ask you the question the following way. Before you get to Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, you have the parsha of Kriya Shema. V'ahavta Es Hashem Elokecha. Somehow when it came to Avas Hashem, that didn't stop Shimon HaMsuni. But somehow when it came to Yiras Hashem, all of a sudden that was an insurmountable obstacle. Why exactly should that be? I would suggest the following, that Shimon HaMsuni understood that Yiras Hashem is, as the Rambam emphasizes, and Sefer HaMitzvos, reward, punishment, schar, onesh, that is something that is purely the domain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is not anyone else's turf. That is uniquely true of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one another. And if you understand Yiras Hashem in that sense, schar, onesh, reward, punishment, how can you argue that included in that pasuk is anything, anyone other than Kadosh Baruch Hu? When Rabbi Akiva tells us, L'rabos Talmidei Chachamim, it's not just a technical answer, but it's a shift in focus. You know what Yiras Hashem is? As the Rambam writes, Kishi Yizbonin Adam, a person is awestruck. You recognize the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in turn, one could envision, no doubt, on an incredibly different scale, that there's a sense of awe, a sense of reverence, a sense of majesty, even when it comes to Gedolei and Manhigei Hador. And that, I understand, can be included in that pasuk of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. So perhaps I understand that there are two different tracks, two different nishans, schar, onesh, the sense of Yiras Haromamus. It doesn't fully explain why the Rambam emphasizes one when he explains the mitzvah Torah, and the other when the Rambam explains the lofty ideals of the Torah. Perhaps the answer to that is the following. When you look in Parshas Ekev, the Torah tells us something that at first glance sounds somewhat difficult. Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Mi'imach Ki'im Le'ira. What is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires of man? You know what the answer is? Yiras Shamayim, fear of heaven, Yiras Hashem. I would ask you the following. Since when is Yiras Hashem a request? Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Mi'imach. Imagine if I were to tell you HaKadosh Baruch Hu requests of us Shmira Shabbos, requests of us observance of Dine Kashrus. One would argue that really is not a request, that really is a demand. Why is it that the Torah tells us, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Mi'imach, a She'ela, a Bakasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu requests of us to do so? The Hafla, the Panim Yafos, without studying these Rambams, writes the following. Apparently, there are two tiers. There is one level of Yiras Hashem, which is mandated. That is the mitzvah of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. There is another level, which is not mandated, but rather that kaviyachol is a request of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ma Hashem Elokecha Sho'o Mi'imach. There is a demand, and there is a request. You know, that would fit in so beautifully with the Rambam. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos writes the mitzvos HaTorah, the demands of the Torah. What is the mitzvah of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira? The mitzvah? That, no doubt, is schar, onesh, the base level. But you know what? Is that the ideal, the idyllic form of Yiras Hashem? I only do in order to hope for reward, and I only avoid simply because of fear of onesh? That may be absolutely true. But in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah of the Rambam, the idyllic form of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem is disassociated from schar and onesh, but rather a recognition of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, kishi yizbonein Adam. You take a step back. Sama nafshi l'elokim l'kelchai. And now the placement of the Rambam speaks volumes. When the Rambam describes the technical mitzvah, the base level is emphasized. When the Rambam speaks about the idyllic form of Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, the Rambam writes, Kishizvon and Adam, recognize everything as a result of Hashkachas Hashem. You look in the Ramban, the very end of Parshas Bo. The Ramban questions, why is it that at times we experience overt miracles? The Ramban writes, it's not merely for the moment. A Kriyas Yamsuf, the Oso, Sumovsim, the time of Mamad Har Sinai. The Ramban writes, Umin Hanisim, Hagdolim, Hamaforsamim, Adamoda Benisim, Hanistarim. When you recognize a nes nigel, an overt miracle, it hones your vision to recognize everything is a result of Hashkochas Hashem, of divine providence. The Ramban continues, She'ein adam chelek b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu. You don't have a share in the Torah. Ad shenamin chol dvarenu umikrenu kulam nisim ein bolam teva min hagol shlolam. Nothing in this world is natural. Everything is a result of divine providence, Hashkachas Hashem. Certain things HaKadosh Baruch Hu does with such regularity that we take it for granted. We think it's nature. But the Ramban writes an absolute denial of anything that is natural. Everything is absolutely supernatural. Everything is considered to be an ace. And therefore, that is the idyllic sense of Avas Hashem. Onesh, schar, true, but the back burner. But in the forefront of our mind is a sense of a recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu impacts on every aspect of day-to-day life. And if you look in the Rambam, the same is true when it comes to Avas Hashem. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos writes in Mitzvah Gimel, how is it that one attains Avas Hashem? The Rambam writes, Esek Batorah, Shmiras HaMitzvos, observe the mitzvah Hashem. That is a manifestation of true Ava. When you look in that Rambam, Perek Beis, Ochus Yisori HaTorah, the Rambam writes again, Kishizbon in Adam. The catalyst of Avas Hashem is recognition of everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. Avas Hashem through the mitzvah HaTorah and Avas Hashem through the recognition of the impact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has on every aspect of day-to-day life. These two paths that the Rambam writes, on the one hand, you attain Avas Hashem through immersion in the Torah Hashem, Mitzvos HaTorah, Talmud Torah. And what the Rambam writes that, but Avas Hashem is attained as well through appreciation of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. What exactly is the source of that Rambam? One could suggest very simply the following. You know, every day in Kriya Shema, we emphasize the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, V'yahavta Es Hashem Elokecha. Where would you look if you wanted to know the real meaning and the path, the approach, to attain appropriate Avas Hashem? And I'll tell you, there's a very simple, simple answer to that question. You know, I'll begin with something technical, but just for a moment. The Gemara tells us in Brachos and Daf Chaf Aleph that let's assume, for example, a person has a suffik, a doubt, when it comes to a bracha. Do you repeat the bracha? Certainly not. Suffik brachos, lahakel. You don't repeat the bracha if you're in doubt. Let's assume, for example, this is a Torah mitzvah, and you're in doubt as to whether it was fulfilled. Then we assume the principle brachos Chaf Aleph of Sveika Daraisa, L'chumra, you're obligated to repeat. A suffik mitzvah, yes. A suffik bracha, no. But a more technical question. When a person repeats a mitzvah because I'm in doubt, I don't know whether I'm obligated, I don't know whether I fulfilled, and therefore I'm told a suffik requires repetition, do you recite a bracha or do you not? If it would just be a suffik bracha, you don't repeat. A suffik mitzvah requires repetition. When you repeat that mitzvah, do you recite a bracha? Not at all clear. You go through all the sugyas in the Gemara, you don't have a clear answer. But you know what? The Rambam discusses this in no less than five places. But you know what the difficulty is? What is the answer of the Rambam? No, 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 and yes. In four places, the Rambam writes, don't dare recite a bracha. And in one place, the Rambam writes that you do. The Rambam writes in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Mila, if you have a suffix regarding bris mila, so therefore repeat the bris mila, but don't recite a bracha. The Rambam writes in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Tzitzis, there's a suffix regarding the mitzvah of tzitzis, yes, you're obligated to, but don't recite a bracha. The Rambam writes in Perek Yedalet, Alecha Dalet of Hilchos Shechita, you have an animal, and I'm not sure how to classify this animal. Is it a domesticated animal, a hema, or is it a chai? It is a wild animal. You know what the difference is? When you do shechita, kisi hadam. Do you cover its blood? You know what the Rambam writes? Mechase, cover, but eino mevarich. Don't recite the bracha. Oh, and that's the famous Rambam now that you all know. Hilchos Sukkah, Perek Vav Halacha Yud Gimel. You know, there were times that we weren't really sure when Kiddush HaChodesh took place. We weren't necessarily sure when the onset of Yantif was. So what do you do when it comes to Shmini Atzeres? From the point of view of the Gemara, Mace of Yasvinan, Baruch Elam of Archinan, sit in Sukkah but don't recite a bracha. You know why? Because the Rambam writes, if there's a suffix, sit, but don't recite a bracha. Because that's the norm, that's the rule. Four places that do not recite a bracha if it's a case of suffix. There's one exception to the Rambam. Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Gimel, Afilchus Kriyashma. There the Rambam writes, Brachos Chafalev, Safek Kara Kriyashma, Safek Lo Kara. I'm not sure whether I was Yotzei the Mitzvah of Kriyashma. For some reason, I can't recall whether I recited Kriyashma. The Rambam writes, Kriyashma is a Torah obligation. Chozer Vekore, Umevarech Lefaneo Lachareha. Stunning. You recite Birchos Kriyashma. Even though the Rambam writes, no, not here, yes. Here, you're obligated to recite the bracha. You know, you see one thing from this Rambam. I remember hearing from Rav Soloveitchik that, typically speaking, a bracha is secondary. A bracha is ancillary. We can separate the mitzvah from the bracha. And therefore, yes, perform the mitzvah, don't recite a bracha. But you know what? Not true when it comes to Kriyashma. Kriyashma is not just simply the recitation of the parsha of the Shema themselves, but the idyllic mitzvah of Kriyashma, the mitzvah b'shleimusa, the complete recitation of Kriyashma, is Kriyashma together with its brachos. Not just simply as a secondary bracha, but rather midrabanan as an inherent part of the Kriya Shema itself. I'll give you an example. The Mechaber writes, Kuf Pei Dalet, a person's not sure whether he benched, and he had a full Suda. So he has to bench again. So someone asks me, what do I say exactly? The answer is, well, take out a bencher and bench. But not all of benching is Min HaTorah. The concluding brach in benching is only Midrabanan. But you know what? Benching in its totality, it's an entirely, is all of Birchas HaMazon. The same is true when it comes to Kriyashma. Kriyashma is not just simply Kriyashma. Kriyashma associated with the Birchos Kriyashma. So here one could suggest now the following. What is the essence of Kriyashma? Kabbalah Samalchus Shamayim, accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech. And I understand Kriyashma begins via Hafta, Avas Hashem. How would you define Avas Hashem? How do you get to that point of Avas Hashem? So I'll tell you this, that if the Chachamim instituted Birchos Kriyashma, and Birchos Kriyashma are not ancillary, they're not secondary, but rather this is part of Kriyashma, even to the point that if a person is in doubt whether he said a Kriyashma, this is the yes. Repeat Kriyashma with his brachos, so I will tell you that's the address. If you want to know how it is that a person reaches Kabbalah Samalchus Shamayim, accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Melech, how is it that a person is able to attain Avas Hashem? You know where you should look? Look in Birchas Kriyashma. What is the first of Birchas Kriyashma? Yotzer Or, Vorech Oshech, Yotzer Moros. Look at what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. Look at the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created, He'll ask me, what exactly does that have to do with Avas Hashem and Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim? And the answer is, it has everything to do with, because Heichi HaDerech Lavosel Yerasa, how is it that one attains Avas Hashem? Kishi Yizbonin Adam. Look at what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created. That elicits a sense of Ava. It's not at all coincidental that when Chazal framed Kriya Shema with brachos, the very first bracha of Berachos Kriya Shema is Yotzer Or, Vorech Oshech, Yotzer Maros. Look at the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created. Let's assume, for example, a person walks away, you know, a very naturalistic view of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. I attain Avas Hashem simply through nature. But there's a second bracha of Kriya Shema. Lilmod, ulalamed, lishmor, velaso, sulakayim, veisek batorah, the shmiras hamitzvos, the mitzvos of the Torah. The mitzvos of the Torah as a tool to be able to appropriately perceive avas Hashem and yiras Hashem. And therefore embedded in the very brachos of Kriya Shema are the two paths that the Rambam writes, both of which are absolutely critical. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded us to do, and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does as the path, as the catalyst, the tool to be able to attain Avas Hashem. I'll ask you a very simple question, but the answer, again, not so clear. Shema Yisrael, that's Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim, that pasuk, what part of that pasuk is Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim? Accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech. What phrase, we recite Kriya Shema all the time. What phrase in Shema Yisrael is Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim? You know what the Avud Raham writes? Hashem Elokeinu. You know what the Sefer HaChinuch writes? Tov Yud Zayin? Hashem Echad. Doesn't that parallel the Rambam? You know what Hashem Elokeinu is? Our unique relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu. How does that express itself? You know how? Lilmod, Olamed, Lishmor, Velaso, Sulakayim, the mitzvos of the Torah that are uniquely ours. We are endowed with the Kedushas Yisrael. The mitzvos are ours. That speaks to Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem Echad, the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the unity of, the wholesomeness, the holistic view of all of that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, that is Kishbonein Adam. Look at the way that the world functions and how we navigate. That is exactly Hashem Echad. According to the Rambam's view, that's why that's the pasuk of Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. Two brachos, Yotzer Or, in the brach of Ava Rabba, two different phrases that you have in Shema Yisrael. It is that Hashem Elokeinu, it is that Hashem Echad that speaks to our mission statement of how it is that we relate to Kadosh Baruch Hu. As mentioned, the Hafla writes that observance of the Torah Hashem, that's mandated. But there's an additional level of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, which is a request of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why exactly is that true? Why does the Torah contain requests? There are many different themes that you find in the Torah that are not mandated, but rather they are options. They are discretionary. When it comes to many mitzvos, we're obligated to. When it comes to others, these are opportunities. You look in the very beginning of Chumash Vayikra, certain karbanos we must, but certain karbanos, a karban nedava, that is something that a person will voluntarily offer. Sometimes there's a mitzvah of giving truma. Technically, how much do you have to give? Chitachas poteres akri, a single grain. It's up to you to decide what is appropriate to give to the kohen. Certain themes of the Torah, a person who becomes a nazir, not an obligation, but rather it is something that is discretionary. A very simple question. Why does the Torah contain that which is discretionary? Or to frame the question somewhat differently, if this is critical for our service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why doesn't the Torah say that you must? And if somehow this is not that important, why is it included at all in the Torah Hashem? Why does the Torah contain divrei rishus, discretionary acts? The Stipler writes in Birchas Peretz, the very beginning of Sefer Vayikra, the Torah wants us to cultivate, to nurture a sense of avas Hashem. And the Stipler writes an important life's lesson. It's true when it comes to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's true when it comes to interpersonal relationships. If a person in life only does that which is demanded of him and nothing more, you're not going to be able to cultivate and nurture a true sense of Ava. Imagine that, you know, a prospective shidduch, and you ask a future son-in-law, what are you prepared to do for my daughter? And his answer is, only that which is absolutely necessary. No? That's a midas ava. The Stipler writes, ava by definition means overreaching, overreaching. In life, not everything in the Torah is mandated. There has to be that which is discretionary, because it's only by exercising discretion that a person can exhibit and inculcate the sense of true ava. You can have a school where there's a rule for everything. You walk in superficially and it looks like it's a tight ship. But to what extent does that resonate? Does that impact on the minds and the hearts of all of the students in the yeshiva? If everything is simply mandated and nothing is left to the students on their own initiative too, you can imagine that when the rules are no longer there, when they graduate, or the summer months, the sticking power is not that significant. But if you inculcate a sense of discretion, of overreaching, a sense of confidence, and therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu embeds in the Torah Hashem not only that which is mandated, but that which is absolutely discretionary. Because for us, Kiyem Chayenu, that this is a lifeline to recognize not only the mitzvos of the Torah, but the opportunity to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that privilege. So you go to Beis HaMikdash not only to offer a mandated Karban Chova, but as an opportunity to be able to offer a Karban Adava. You decide to link into those mitzvos of the Torah that are discretionary. It speaks volumes in terms of your Avodas Hashem. So it's not at all surprising when it comes to Avas Hashem, when it comes to Yiras Hashem. There's a mitzvah, but there also is a she'ela, a bakasha. Ma Hashem Elokecha, shol mimach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want that we should immerse ourselves in the Torah Hashem merely because of obligation, schar and onesh, but rather as a recognition of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. As mentioned, that this concept of Yiras HaRomamus, the sense of majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that Rabbi Akiva tells us, there, Eses L'Rabos Talmidei Chachamim. That is something, no doubt, is Talmidim, that we were zocha to see each and every day from our illustrious Rebbe, the Rav Zecher Tzadik Levracha. You couldn't help but sense an incredible notion and gift of a majestic Sar HaTorah. And the Rav personified both of those elements that the Rambam writes in Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. It wasn't just simply a master of sugyas, a master of halacha, a master of the mitzvos HaTorah, but one who provided us with that guidance of kishi yizbonein adam, a recognition that holistically everything is defined by the path of the Torah Hashem. There was an element, no doubt, of absolute yiras haonesh. I can remember that I was a young boy One of the lengthiest Tosos in Shas is a Tosos in Bava Kama Daf Samech Zayin Amud Aleph. And the Rav was giving shir on that Tosos, and I had the schus that the Rav called on me to explain to the shir the essence of that Tosos. Panic stricken, absolutely yes. I will tell you that decades later, I'm beginning to get over that experience. But you had a certain sense of, on a base level, fear, but more importantly, it was Yiras HaRamus, a majestic experience. That is something that was absolutely clear. You know, you hear sometimes incidents that Rav Soloveitchik could be tough on a Talmud. It was being tough on the Talmud out of an amazing sense of care and love, because the reverence that he had for the Talmidim was such that he expected and demanded absolute excellence. If the Rav spent hours preparing for a shir, the least we could do was spend hours preparing a sugya. And if ever we came to a shir ill-prepared, it would become very, very clear. I remember hearing Rav Soloveitchik in the yeshiva, as they did every day, but then hearing Rav Soloveitchik in Boston when he's fielding questions from the Hamonam, from Balabatim. We would ask a question in shir that wasn't quite on the mark. We would hear about it. All of a sudden, I remember Balabas in the audience raises a question, asks Rav Soloveitchik, you know, a question that, from the perspective of Talmidim, probably was a 1 out of 1 to 10. And we were ready to, how is the Rav going to respond? It was with incredible warmth and passion, embracing the one who asked the question. After all, with Talmidim, the rigor of learning was something that he absolutely demanded. But a recognition that Vava Sator is something that is absolutely primary. You know, when I think about that Ramban, when the Ramban writes that nothing is natural, everything is a result of absolute Hashkachas Hashem. I remember during the summer, Rav Soloveitchik used to give shir in Brookline, and a number of the Talmidim used to go and be with him. The environment was a little bit more relaxed than it was in the Kostlei Beis Midrash of the yeshiva. Rav Soloveitchik was giving shir, and Rav Soloveitchik was stuck. Couldn't maneuver. Couldn't figure out the essence of the sugya and the shita saram. You know, for us, it was enlightening. You know, you speak about Shimon Hamsuni, a sense of the integrity. He could have fooled all of us, but absolutely not. Mekamblim shchar al aprisha. And all of a sudden, well into the shir, all of a sudden, the Rav came up with an ingenious answer that kind of unlocked the sugya. And it was amazing just simply to see how, before our eyes, Rav Soloveitchik would work through the intricacies, the difficulty of the sugya, not being afraid to tell us he doesn't know, and the simchas hanefesh, when the Rav screamed out that, I got it, I understand, pshat in the sugya. I can tell you, I was there. The weather that day was just incredible. It wasn't a typical summer days. Storms and thunder and lightning. And I'm sitting there in shir, sitting next to a chavrus. And all of a sudden, the Rav says, I was there. I'm stuck. Thunder and lightning, it starts pouring. And all of a sudden, the Rav, this guy clears. And all of a sudden, the Rav says, I got it. And the sun shines. And this was like going back and forth. I'm not sure the Rav would be so proud of my telling you that depiction, but it's something that I witnessed. You know, I turned to the person next to me. This is Yiras HaRamus. This is not just Schar and Onish. This is Kishis Bon Hinadam. This is the drush of Rabbi Akiva, which is Es L'Rabos, Talmidei Chachamim. When we were in the presence of the Rav, it wasn't just simply that we felt that we were in the presence of Gadol Hador. It was beyond that. Maybe it was somewhat presumptuous, but we all felt that the Rav was a Gadol Hador, not only of this generation. Wherever the Rav would have been situated, Hashkochas Hashem, that he was in our generation, but the generation of Reb Chaim, the generation of the Ksos, the generation of Rabbi Kiveg, this was a brilliance that spanned the generations as something that was unusual. And what's so remarkable in terms of a holistic sense of Avodas Hashem is every area that the Rav touched. The Rav was a master. The Rav was recognized throughout the world as a master in any field that he occupied himself. You know, there were certain people that enjoyed Koach HaDrush. You would hear them say, the Rav is the greatest darshan. There are people that were great orators. The Rav was the greatest of philosophers. The Rav was compared to the Rishonim and the Gaonim in terms of his philosophy. People who were not at all religious, who couldn't link into the essence of who the Rav was, but simply judging by what the Rav wrote, all of a sudden recognized absolute brilliance, disconnected from who we knew our Rebbe was. And in learning, and in lamdus, as a Baal Eitza, as a Baal Halacha, a master. You know, we live in times where not only in terms of the world at large, but even in terms of Yediyas HaTorah, things are very, very specialized. You know, there's a Rav who's an expert in this field, a Rav who's an expert in that field. And no doubt the erudition of Rabbanim today is incredible. It's incredibly unique to be able to find a holistic model that represents all aspects of the Chelkei HaTorah. And for us, that this was our privilege. You know, people simply could come to the Rav Shir to see the Rav give Shir, even though they didn't understand every nuance. But you walked away inspired, whether you understood the basic Shir, the intricacies of the Shir, or even just simply to see the delivery. To see, you know, the Zayd deliver Shiurim to Einaklach and Ur Einaklach. It was an unbelievable expression of a sense of a shalshalas hamasorah that spanned generations. Sometimes you think a person such as that would have no direct connection to who we were and our needs, but he understood beyond our wildest visions of what it means to be able to be a Rebbe. And of all the titles that the Rav had, the one he was most fond of was simply being a Malamed. Not a Malamed simply of Yechidim, but a Malamed Torah Lama Yisrael. And that, no doubt, is an incredible, incredible legacy that we have. You know, it's not so surprising that you have people in so many different walks of life that consider the Rav to be their Rebbe Muvak. Even though, no doubt, different nuances and different persuasions, they glean different Chelkei HaTorah from the mastery of Rav Soloveitchik. But this, no doubt, is a legacy that we commemorate at close to the proximity of the 25th Yahrzeit of the Rav Zecher Tzadik Livracha. To recognize that dual mission that the Rambam writes, the Avas Hashem and the Yiras Hashem, of Sefer HaMitzvos and Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, to realize that to cultivate a true sense of Ava ben Adam Lechavero, as well as ben Adam Lamakom, a person has to overreach in life, never be satisfied simply with just getting by when it comes to the Torah Hashem. The Torah Hashem is not merely that which is mandated, but so much of the Torah Hashem is a she'ela, a bakasha, ma'ashel makecha sho'el mimach, and therefore the exquisite placement of the Rambam. In Sefer HaMitzvos, I'll tell you, the root mitzvah HaTorah. But in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, here the Rambam teaches us the true path, the mission statement of a Ben and Bas Torah, to embrace all elements of the Toras Hashem, to recognize not only Hashem Elokeinu, to recognize Hashem Echad, to realize, as the Ramban writes, that Ein Olam Teva Min Hago Shel Olam, nothing is natural. Everything is a result of Hashkochas Hashem. In life, we never control any result, any success, any failure, but simply you position yourself, a Gemara Nidan Dafayin, and you're mispalo to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a sense of Siyata Dishmaya. Bezras Hashem, we should be Zocha to that sense of recognition of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only through the mitzvahs HaTorah, but also through Hilchus Yesodei HaTorah, Kishi Yizbonein Adam, B'masav, Ubruav, Haniflaim, Hagadolim.